If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians 12 this morning. We're doing a little series on life groups, care groups, cell groups, home groups. We've chose to call them life groups here at New Life, and in the next several weeks we'll be announcing the various groups that will be available for you to take advantage of. And we're talking about the purposes in this next couple of weeks, and last week, the purpose and the goals of life groups. You know, we live in a world that gets more social every day. We think that it's less social. We actually know more about, how many know that you probably know more about people than you really need to? Anybody like, sometimes I read stuff on social media. It's like, why are you sharing that? And why do I need to know that? I'd rather be ignorant. I don't really need to know things. But in the body of Christ, totally different. In the body of Christ, God wants us to know one another after the Spirit. I don't care what's your favorite food, but I care what your giftings are. I care what your passions are. Come on, someone. And so we live in a world where you and I get together a couple hours every week. Some of you, I only see an hour and a half every week. And that's just not enough if we're going to get the work done that God has us to do. On Monday of last week, I came back. We left for a couple days. Terry and I got away to St. Joe's. We highly suggest St. Joseph, Michigan. Good place to go. But anyway, we went up there and spent a couple days just regrouping and praying. And I came back for a meeting at the school board meeting. Some of the things that we talked about absolutely set me on my ear. Couldn't sleep. There's problems right here in our community that are insurmountable without Christ. Just absolutely insurmountable. What I said Wednesday night at the Bible study, a bagel and a cup of coffee and a few songs and a pat on the back is not going to help the problems. People really need to know Jesus. But they need to know also that there are people that are successfully serving Jesus, that He takes care of problems, that He wins over the demonic. Some of the things that are happening right around you in your own neighborhood would cause you not to sleep if you knew. Your eyes would well with tears at some of the things that are happening to our children. And there's no easy solution. More psychiatrists, more social workers, more mental help is not going to take care of the problem. The problems that are in our community are only going to be handled by Jesus. It's not A, B, and C. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is writing the Corinthians church, and he's talking about membership one with another. It's more than just having our name on the roll. I'm a member of New Life. No, first off, you're a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And the longer that we live in our bodies, the more we get to know our bodies. Sometimes we wish we knew our bodies less, but we know our body. Amen? Amen. Think about any part of your body, and you're intimately acquainted with that part of your body. And that's what Christ is after with His body, that would intimately know one another in the local setting. It's impossible that in the corporate church, in the universal church, that we would know everybody intimately. But here, that's the purpose. And if every church is doing that, the strength of the Lord will show on the earth. And the problems that are around us are absolutely going to take every member of the body doing its part. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where they say that heavens will open up and God will take care of it without us. That's not what we're praying towards. When we pray for revival, when we pray for God to change our society, we're looking at us volunteering to get that done. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Verse 13, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." Verse 23 says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having give greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." Underline, same care. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So as we walk this walk, you and I, we come to the mature place of saying, "I'm not just somebody that's part of Christianity. I'm actually part of the corporal body of Christ." Think about that. Number one, the privilege of being part of the body of Christ. Say privilege. We're privileged to be a part of His body. And He shares that with Him. He said in His prayer that we should be one as Him and the Father are one. Look around the room. Look around the room. There are challenges to be one with people that we maybe just see on Sunday morning. There's challenges to be one with them. Come on, somebody. That takes coming out of our comfort zone, getting to know one another. So let's look at this. Let's break it down a little bit. The body is one and has many members. The many members need each other, and the growth of the body is dependent on the individual. We're not all going to instantaneously grow, but we will grow individually, which will cause the growth of the body. It's from the inside out, like the song we sang this morning. It's not going to grow from the outside in. There are churches that are growing from the outside in. They're popular. The Word of God's not preached there, but they're popular. Come on, somebody. They exist. Some of the fastest growing churches in America exist because they're growing from the outside in. It's entertainment plus. How many know? God wants us to grow from the inside out. We at New Life are very good at oneness. One of the things that drew Terry and I when we first came was the love. Now it needs to grow deeper, and it needs to incorporate others, because the time, my friend, is growing short. Life groups will strengthen that and help export what's going on here. As I've said, it takes a big step of faith for visitors to come to New Life, come and visit us, because some of the things are a little bit strange that we do. Turn to somebody and say, "He must be talking about someone else." Every part, number two, every part of this local body is important. The comfort zones from life groups will be challenged, but every part of this local body is important. You're important. What you have is important to export and touch your neighbors, your friends, your relatives. Lives will be changed and lives will be knit together. It's a win-win situation, both growing close as a body and welcoming more. How many know, it just even in the natural world, intimacy brings reproduction, brings more people. You know, I'm not a big believer in the ooey, you know, the deeper life club of Christianity that says everything has a spiritual meaning. Everything does have a spiritual meaning, but some of it's kind of, you know what I mean? Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. I don't think God is that ooey-ooey. I think He's very practical. But the thing that's happened in the last 20, 30 years here in this nation, families have went from 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 a couple of generations ago, children, to 1 or less in families. One of the big trends in the big cities up in the Northeast is DINKS. D-I-N-K-S, double income, no kids. And so the very thing that's happened physically is happening spiritually. We're not reproducing. Because that spirit of reproduction is gone from our society. Come on, somebody. We just shuffle around people. I'm talking about the real body of Christ. Can anybody hear me this morning? Number 3, there are many members that make up a body. Life groups will assist in the function of each member. Some of us may feel like we're stuck in neutral, like we're not growing. Life groups help us. We come together intimately with people. We actually can have our questions answered. Sometimes in the Sunday morning service, you just are bubbling maybe to ask a question to somebody and it's not convenient. Then by the time church is over, everybody's busy meeting everyone, and that question never really gets answered. Life groups will help us grow. It will activate the entire body through recognizing gifts in each one of us. How many know each one of us have a gift? Quiet in here. Each one of us have a gift. Some of us get to showcase our gifts because we have meetings. But that's not helping everybody grow. I saw a picture of the softball pitching champion, and man, he was right-handed. His right arm was about 3 sizes bigger than his left arm. How many know when you saw him, his prominence is his arm. We don't want the body to grow disproportionately. We want us to grow together. Come on, someone. Number 4, each member should have the same care one for another, the scriptures say. When there is mutual care, there's mutual growth. We all grow together. We all grow into mature people. Come on, someone. No one's left behind. Finding out about someone can open new doors of ministry and communication. Number 5, we are individuals, yes, but we together make up the body of Christ. That body needs the intimate knowledge of what each member gives to operate at optimum levels. No unbeliever, when they come in this place, should fall through the cracks. Somebody is going to be drawn to them. The Holy Spirit's going to draw you to them. Where another visitor might be drawn to someone else, but God is taking care to put in the body. Come on, someone. It's very practical things. I get an itch in my left shoulder. It's hard to scratch it with my left arm, but my right arm can get around back there. We need the intimate knowledge of one another to operate at optimum. Fear of closeness is a tactic the enemy will use. If somebody really knows me, they may not love me. And the beautiful thing about getting to know one another is we find out we are all struggling and fighting the same battles. You can only brag about your victory so long when your spiritual undergarments start to show. Come on, somebody. We all struggle. There's a war against the flesh and the spirit. And it does us well to know each other after the spirit. And we find out that we're not those old paintings with the halos around people, you know. All the saints had the halos. Come on, somebody. Do you know what I'm talking about? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians 4, 15. Break this down just a minute. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, say whole body.
Whole body.
Are you part of the, how many are part of the whole body? When I came to church today, I brought my whole body. None of it is at home in bed, although some of it would like to be. I said, my body, you're coming to church whether you like it or not. I ran a little bit extra the other day. Both of my legs said, can we stay home? I said, no, I won't be able to make it without you. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is all about the body of Christ, this scripture right here. Speaking the truth in love. Hopefully we are receiving from the preaching of the word when we come together. Hopefully you've been blessed by the word of God that's preached from this pulpit. Hopefully my prayer is that you're being blessed, you're following after, you're studying the word, you're growing. But more importantly, what influences that you have throughout the week, whether that be many or few, concerns me. I want you to grow up into the head. Life groups will help us grow together, supplying to each one. We want to be able to take the sermon and break it down into practicality for our lives. Come on, somebody. We need to establish and strengthen the body of Christ. Part of that practicality is working that out in living rooms, in joining together. The scripture says that we speak the truth in love. Life groups gives us a chance to do that. Growing up in all things. Life groups can facilitate the following things. Life groups coming together can give us a better understanding of the Word of God. We begin to see how that practically works out. There's nothing like being in a room with 8 or 10 people praying, actually hearing the prayers of one another, and seeing prayers answered right before your eyes. There's nothing like that. Oh, you could go to a big meeting, or you can come to church and see somebody get blessed up at the altar. But when you're sitting across from them and they're sharing their victories and their defeats. Number two, recognizing giftings. It's impossible when we come together, two or three prophesy, the others judge. But how many know when you got a gift, maybe you have a gift of deliverance. You can help somebody else. Maybe you have a gift of faith. And you can exercise that gift in a small group. So when you come to church, people are expecting. People love to see the body working together tremendously. Thirdly, deliverance from sinful practices. You've been struggling with something maybe for years. You say, I just can't get free. I go up to the altar for prayer and I get a victory for a couple days and I fall right back into it. Next time prayer is offered to the altar, I go, I fall down. I just can't get over this thing. It plagues me. But when you're put in a situation of intimacy, you can hear somebody else give a testimony. It says, man, I was struggling with this thing, and here's what God did for me. And you can have the victory. It will help your prayer life. Some of us find it very difficult to pray. Praying together in a small group will strengthen your prayer life. It'll bring the Word alive in your personal life. The Word applied gives strength to our lives, and it gives maturity to the entire local church. And then people, whether they know it or not, will come to see Jesus working effectively in us, not only in our church, but in our life groups as well. The whole body joined and knit together. Number three, the whole body joined and knit together. Each life group will build strength. Life groups will share the excitement, will grow. The whole point of life groups is to grow and to split into more life groups. Because what happens is people, there's a scourge on the land, and that's the scourge of intimacy. It's not happening. People are not close. People, we, like I said, we know more about people than we want to know, but we don't know them intimately. God wants us to know one another after the Spirit. When a small group, when a life group is strengthened with others, there is a bond that develops. Number four, every part does its share, Scripture says. Knowledge of each person and their contribution to the whole. Testimonies that otherwise are lost because of time constraints. We used to have testimony time just before church. We offered people to do it online because that's the thing that's happening. We want to be not only give our testimonies here, but online so other people can hear. All of a sudden, nobody has testimonies. Come on. Share your testimony. That's my belly. What gets my. But in life groups, you share your victory. You have time when you come together. You say, man, thanks for praying. Guess what happened? God healed me. Or God touched me. Or God provided for me. Number five, it's building up the body in love. That's already taking place. And the life groups will add strength to it. A couple scriptures of Philippians 1:9. This I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all as we do to you. That kind of love strengthens the body. I talked about having a conversation with my legs this morning. I chastised them. But I love them very much, thank you. Come on, somebody. I love my legs. Without them, I wouldn't be able to stand here. I have intimate love for my legs. Come on, we need to love the body of Christ more than we ever have. Advantages of meeting together in life groups. Number one, it's a place where relationships are built and nurtured. Number two, it allows us to go deeper and study the Bible. That is possible on a Sunday morning. Again, questions asked and answered. It's the place where people can develop their own gifts and ministries in a safe and caring environment. I think I said one Sunday morning, I'll say it again, we used to get together in small groups when I was in college, and we just sat there and activate the gifts. We just begin to pray, and somebody had a prophetic word, would prophesy if they missed God. We'd be able to talk about it. Somebody had the gift of healing and they laid hands on someone. Come on, somebody. And man, that little group, we went together a whole 2 semesters, actually, we were together. And we built a strong relationship. There were 1,500 students on that campus. And for the rest of the time there in college, I got to know those people so well. And that little time once a week that we got together, that we had friendships throughout the time we were there. Number four, it's a good place to invite friends and neighbors who may not be Christians so they can get to know people in a more informal setting. In studies on church attendance, it's been discovered that 85% of those who join the church a year later are not going back to that church. Isn't that something? People just moving around. This raises a very important question. Why are these people who are joining churches leaving so quickly? The answer is they did not make enough meaningful relationships in that time. Another survey discovered that 90% of new members would stay in church if, number one, they made 4 to 8 close friendships within the church. That's fulfilled in life groups. Number two, they belong to a fellowship group. Number three, they can articulate their faith. The best way to develop these relationships in the context of a life group where you have the space and time to get to know people in an informal setting where people can ask questions and explore what it means to be a Christian. I think the real question, as every member of New Life needs to ask, is what we do here every Sunday transferable to the ones we are called to be a witness to? Is what we do when we get together and do this little thing that we do every Sunday morning, is it transferable to everybody's practical life? Gallup poll conducted research in America that discovered what people's main spiritual needs were. They were, number one, to believe life is meaningful and has a purpose. People want to know that life has a purpose. Some of the reasons why we're having all the negativity and all the violence in our cities and in and around the United States is because people have lost the meaning of life. Life has no meaning, it has no purpose, and so they're angry. To have a sense of community and deeper relationships, number two. Believe it or not, people still need each other. To be appreciated and respected, number three. Gallup poll said, number four, to be listened to and heard. Number five, to feel that one is growing in the faith. People need to know they're growing in Christ-likeness. To have practical help in developing a mature faith. Being part of a life group, I believe, helps us to enter into these deeper relationships, to feel appreciated and respected, to be listened to, heard, and to grow us, help us to grow in our faith. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts, the second chapter. I'm going to surprise some people here. Acts chapter 2. You ready for a surprise? Everybody say, yes, I'm ready for a surprise. If you're not ready for a surprise, we can wait a half an hour or so, and then we'll... Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Where do we find the scripture at New Life other than in the Bible? Anybody know where this scripture is at New Life? Elders? Deacons? Where else is it other than in the Bible in New Life? Not one person knows. It's our statement of purpose of New Life Church in our Constitution and bylaws. This is our statement of purpose. This is what we put when people come and say, where's your Constitution? This is what drew me to this church. That your purpose statement embodied the book of Acts and everything it stood for. One of the reasons why I'm here, one of the reasons I even bothered answering the call to come here, the first time that I spoke with Ken Meixel. I asked for the Constitution bylaws, and when it came, I looked at that and I said, man, that's a statement of purpose, the purpose of New Life Church. To come together, have all things in common. Come on, somebody. Let me read it. Purpose statement for New Life. In order to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, we honor God and we share Jesus to equip the body of Christ to build God's kingdom as we serve others. According to Acts 2, 42 through 47, they taught and discipled each other, they fellowshipped together, they worshiped, they ministered, and they evangelized. This is in our Constitution bylaws. Honor, worship. We make our personal relationship with Jesus Christ our first priority by worshiping with extravagant joy and gratitude. Share, evangelism. We preach and demonstrate God's grace, His unconditional love and transforming power through evangelism. How many have evangelized the last week? Oh, hold your hand up if you haven't. Build fellowship. We edify and encourage the body of Christ through fellowship and the breaking of bread. This is what we're saying if we're members of New Life. Serve ministry. We serve our church community and the world through pursuing God's call and purpose for our lives in ministry. Come on, somebody. Are you all still there? You still love me? This is in our Constitution. This is what we say our statement of purpose as members are to the body of Christ. And I looked at this, and four main things that happened in the Church of Jerusalem that I believe is a pattern for success and growth and in winning the lost to Christ as New Life through life groups and other things that we do through our efforts. Number one is the commitment to the study of God's Word. It's been the central theme of New Life for years. We went through some books together, you and I. And I trust that you've grown in depth and width of Christ. My goal and my prayer for each of you is to know the love of Christ, the depth, the height, the width, and the length of the love of Christ through the Scriptures. How many are blessed that we went through some books together? So we'll continue to have a commitment to the study of God's Word. We don't preach popular ideas here. We preach the Word of God. You are encouraged to study the Word as an individual, always. I encourage you to do so. Secondly, the second feature of the early church was their commitment to one another. It wasn't just a case of these Christians knowing one another well enough to say hello when they met on the street. I meet you at Kroger and you say, "Hey, Pastor," and I go, "Hey, how you doing?" And some of you, that's all we ever get is, "Hey, how you doing?" How many will know that Christ wants us to go deeper to know each other after the Spirit? Come on, someone. How is that possible? It's not possible in a big corporate gathering, but it is possible in life groups, and it's possible setting down. That's why I come to a lot of your... I invite you out for coffee. I want to sit around. I want to look at you. I want to eyeball you. I want to know your heart. I want to know who you are. I want you to know me. Come on, somebody. It was a deep relationship built on love for God and love for one another. Luke tells us that many of these Christians shared things in common to anyone that had a need. We're pretty good at that. We need to continue to be so. We need to be a resource for each other and a resource for the community. I'm not talking about paying somebody's electric bill and giving them food. I'm talking about getting to the heart of the matter in their lives and seeing their lives changed. We live in a community that has very huge needs. And if we're just going out half-baked, it's not going to work. But if they see that we love one another and we have room for them, it will grow. Verse 46 says, "Every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." They didn't just meet once a week in the temple. They met every day, and not only in the temple, but in others' homes, in fellowship, enjoying meals with one another, and worshiping together. That was the strength of the first church. If it worked there, how many know it can work here? Number three, they were a worshiping church. One of the things I've seen in our years together is the ebb and the flow of worship. I'm amazed that weather can affect our mood. Can I just be real with you? I'm not criticizing. I mean, I felt glum and gloom today too. But you got to overcome it. How many know God says to sacrifice our praise and worship to Him? It's a sacrifice to be joyful and to worship. You say, "One more day of winter? Really?" But I'm amazed at that anyway. We're a worshiping church. Life groups will only add to the strength of worship. There's something about sitting with 6, 8, 10 people and worshiping the Lord together. Hearing our voices, worship God together. It's a growth that cannot happen in any other setting. And He inhabits, He dwells through and abides in and manifests in worship. Come on, somebody. Last life group I was a member of, we called them care groups back then. I can remember several times opening up in worship and not getting anything else done. An hour and a half of just being in the presence of the Lord. People being healed, interrupting only to share their hearts. I'm praying for that to happen in the corporate gathering, but I'd like to see it happen in the life groups as well. Number four, and most importantly, in closing, they were a praying church. One of the things I appreciate about Jean Stiller is she keeps reminding us we've got to pray. Prayer is the very heartbeat of the Christian faith and the church. A healthy church must have its heart a burden for prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. Turn to somebody and look them right in the eye. Nothing happens without prayer. There's a dispensing of our prayers to God, and He answers. I don't know what I would see. I would love to have it streamlined. Prayer 2.0. God, instead of waiting for my prayer, why don't you just supply my needs and I'll be grateful for it? None of us would do that. None of us anywhere would ever. We would love to have that, our selfish part of us. But God waits for our prayer and He responds to our prayer. And this is a word for you this morning. Maybe God is telling you, just pray, just ask. You have not because you ask not. Come on, someone. Say, God, well, you know my needs. Just go ahead and supply, and I'll pray afterwards. Come on, someone. Through prayer, God reveals His will to us, and we are transformed by Him. Those churches that are growing in this country, and I mean the churches that are growing effectively and building the body of Christ, are those churches that have recaptured a vision for prayer, and they've discovered the power of prayer. Several weeks ago, I went out to Middletown, Ohio, out to Tim Sheets' church. It was a Friday night conference, two-hour conference, from 7 to 9. 2,500 people showed up, maybe more, for prayer. All we did was worshiped and prayed and a couple of prophetic words. 2,500 people crying out to God. And there's more things are happening as a result of those prayers than I've ever seen in a group of people in a long time. Some of the things we prayed are taking place even now. And I was blessed to be a part of that. We need to be a praying church, folks. About someone. And I believe life groups will help facilitate that. Because a lot of people have just forgotten how to pray or too shy to pray or say, I don't want to pray or I can't pray. I feel embarrassed when I pray. But how many know your prayer is effective? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I didn't say that. Heaven did. Heaven said, if you pray and you're my child, it avails much. I'll answer your prayer. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it that the Father might be glorified in the Son. Life groups can teach us how to pray in a safety of a close environment and uphold each other in our prayers. And so I ask you, as we go about next week, we'll talk about the practical aspects of opening up life groups and how you can get involved with them. I encourage you to pray. Ask the Lord what your part can be in this really effective way of not only ministering to one another, because we need to get to know each other in a deeper manner, but in allowing people from the outside to have a step before coming to the corporate gathering. Amen? So, Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You, God, that our purpose statement as a church includes the verses that are so very important in the book of Acts. The key to growth, the key to revival, the key to church changing a society is right within those verses, Lord, from 42 to 47 in Acts 2. Lord, they had all things in common. They prayed, they meant together, they loved one another. Lord, You throughout Your word says that we are to love one another. Help us, Lord, as we go through these transitions. Much change is happening at New Life, but we thank You for what You're doing. God, we pray and we ascertain from what Your word says that You're requiring that we do that same thing. God, we don't want to grow just for growth's sake. We want to grow and touch the souls that are here in this community. Darkness is coming when no man can work. But until then, God, please place within us the passion and the desire to reach the lost. This is a practical way of doing that. Help us as guide our footsteps, Father, as we believe with all of our heart we're being led by You.